John, I guess the question we have, to, according to you, how much trouble is the Steelers team in?
To hell with the Steelers. I'm curious about what music you guys roll to. What the hell was that?
That's Ray Lewis's dance music.
Oh.
John, I had never seen Ray dance before the game. I couldn't wait. That was all I was looking forward to at the last game, is watching Ray. Now they play the music for me all the time.
I guess through the phone it didn't sound the same. I'm going to guess Ray and I have different tunes in our iPods right now.
I would think just a little bit.
Apparently you haven't watched Ray do his deal before the game.
I've seen it. Just through the phone it sounded differently than the thing that, you know, makes the other team so irate, the other fan bases. I love the dance.
I do,
I've
too.
I always loved it. It was great dance. Nothing was better than that dance prior to the Super Bowl against the Giants.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That was the best that dance has ever been.
Yeah, he rips the grass out of the ground, basically said, this is my house. Yeah,
now, do they play that music in Pittsburgh when they play that? Hey, John, will they play that music in Pittsburgh on November the 6th?
I guess we're bringing in some special speakers and a special sound system just for Ray. They're calling it the Raven sound system. It's going to be 5.1. It's going to be killer.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with John Seibel from The Fan in Pittsburgh here on 105.7 The Fan. And John, we'll start you off where we tried to start. The Steeler team, you know, are they in trouble, or is that schedule going to help them?
Well, the schedule is what it is, right? I mean, the schedule looked one way back in August, and then big boy football began with week one, and all things changed, and all bets are off. This is a team that has a heightened sense of awareness, and I don't care what you hear in that locker room, guys. If you just see things, right, it speaks louder than words. Case in point, in the locker room, they've got ping pong table, they've got a little mini basketball court or whatever. They even got one of those table shuffleboard games, right? You see a lot of that stuff in locker rooms all across the National Football League, and usually after practices, guys are playing games. Not this week. Nobody's touching shuffleboard. Nobody's touching ping pong. Nobody's also taking the bait that this game is any more important than any other, but their actions speak louder than words. I think it's clear that this team feels the same way that I do about this week. This is about as much of a must-win as needed, not for wins and losses, but for identity, because this team is not the Pittsburgh Steelers that we have seen this century. Not even close. Not the Pittsburgh Steelers team that people are used to seeing defensively since the mid-70s. This is a team struggling to find its identity.
Now, John, maybe they're not playing those games because they're all hurt. Go over the injury situation.
Outside of Mike Tomlin, everybody's on it.
Right.
Everybody's on the injury list. I mean, Ben's, you know, he's got that protective boot. You've got Aaron Smith is banged up, doesn't look good.
Now, has Ben practiced yet, John?
I don't believe he's practicing today. Last I heard, I just got a report a few minutes ago. That he's walking around in a protective boot. But the thing is, here's the thing with Ben. It doesn't matter. Historically, he's played better in this situation when he's been banged up. He's going to play. There's no question he's going to play. He's not going to be as mobile as ever, but he's always played well like this. So
when he doesn't practice?
Gonna show up. The question is, what shape is Casey Hampton going to be in as well? Because he's banged up. That offensive line is riddled to the point where Max Starks, who hasn't even practiced since, you know, who knows? I mean, he hasn't played. He didn't play last year because of the neck. It's been forever since he's even practiced. Yesterday in his first practice with the Steelers, he took half of the first team reps, and he did it at left tackle. Now, Benny, how secure would you feel in putting a guy out at left tackle for your right-handed quarterback, and he hasn't played in a year and hasn't had a practice worth anything in a year? That's how desperate this team is.
Well, if I was Ben, I'd be asking for a tight end over there or back to chip or so. I said, you know, protect my backside at least.
If I was Ben, I'd be asking for, I don't know, Antonio Brown to be back in the Wildcat and me split out. I wouldn't want to drop back.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with John Seibel from The Fan in Pittsburgh here on 105.7 The Fan. John, the line was bad last year. So how much worse? Because how much worse has it gotten this year?
Well, Flozell Adams turned out to be a gem, guys. He was the only guy who started every game last year, including the Super Bowl, and he was fantastic. I think you're seeing the true value of Flozell from a year ago. Doug Ligurski was a nice Band-Aid last year, but he's just part of a rotating door at right guard, and he's banged up. Marquise Pouncey's not playing up to the level he played last year, and maybe that's in part because the rest of the injuries to the offensive line. You see Trey Essex. They were counting on him being a quality backup, but then again, they weren't expecting him to start. Willie Colon missing the second year. Trey Essex hasn't been all that in the bag of chips. So the depth has not been as good this year as it was last year. And you guys know it just like I do. You could say these are your starting 22 guys you're going to throw out there, but the team is only as good as its backups, and this team's backups is not, or they haven't been very good on the offensive line.
John, the defense, they're averaging, giving up, they're allowing 4.8 per rush this year compared to 3.0 last year. I mean, that's almost 2 yards difference per rush. I mean, you rush it three times, you get a first down. I mean, before, there, you know, it was three times and a punt. So what has gone wrong with the defense? What is the problem with the defense? It looks like they're older, they're slower, but Polamalu has picked it up lately. What are the issues? What do the coaches, what are they feeling there?
They're being pushed around. I think Troy's been playing fantastic football myself, but
right.
They're pushed around. Aaron Smith's been getting pushed around. Casey Hampton's been pushed around. And I don't expect it to change this week, guys. When I was talking about the missing identity, I was talking more defense than anything else. If you just look at the rankings, right, the stats since the year 2000, in the previous 11 years, the Steelers finished in the top three against the rush in 9 of the previous 11 years. The only 2 other times they finished 12th and they missed the playoffs. This team is ranked 22nd in the National Football League against the run. They're 22nd in the league in sacks. This is a defense whose identity for years, and both you guys know this, has been much like the Ravens.
Yep.
We stop the run, you don't dare run on us, and we're going to pummel the crap out of your quarterback. They're doing neither. And I don't think it's going to change this week, because look at that offensive line for the Titans.
Good.
That's a good offensive line.
Yes, very good.
They know how to run. Chris Johnson started to feel good about himself last week, got his first 100-yard game of the year. I know it was at Cleveland, but it still counts. Matt Hasselbeck is playing rejuvenated football this year. He's playing with a purpose. I think this tight team can come in, and I think they can run successfully. And this may sound incredibly ridiculous given the Steelers' history, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Titans aren't relishing the opportunity of running the ball against the Steelers team that everybody, to include the Colts, have been able to run the ball against.
Hey, John, where's Hood and Hayward? They're two first-round draft picks. Where are they?
Well, Hayward, to be honest, he has not played up to the first-round draft level that Marquise Pouncey played last year at center, but then again, that was a level that you don't see many rookies play at, period.
Right, and Hayward played one good game last year, in my opinion, in college.
Hayward was incredible in that Sugar Bowl, and he did it with one arm. But you look at Hayward. Well,
that's the problem. That's the problem. He's playing with two arms this year, John. You got to get him hurt, man.
Well, hey, I saw the Holy Grail, Monty Python. Come on, he can do it. But I think, guys, to be fair, no OTAs, none of that off-season stuff for Cameron Hayward. So I think it's a little much to ask him to be a big-time difference maker. But the disappointing thing on that defensive line, I guess another disappointing thing, has been Ziggy Hood hasn't been that good this year. And last year, he was very good once Aaron Smith went down.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with John Seibel from The Fan in Pittsburgh here on 105.7 The Fan. John, looking back at the Houston game last week, is that a game where the fans in Pittsburgh are feeling good that they hung in, or are they thinking if Andre Johnson doesn't get hurt and the Texans don't keep shooting themselves in the foot, that's a different game?
Kenny, Pittsburgh fans are not happy for just hanging in. Come on, it's just like Baltimore, right? No, people are lining the bridges. They're preparing to jump. They're making sure their affairs are in order because the sun's not going to come up tomorrow and life is over. That's basically the way that they feel about the Houston Texans game. There's no silver lining because most people in the Berg will tell you they shouldn't have been that close because Houston was dominated in the first half if it weren't for a couple of stupid Texans penalties. I mean, Jonathan Joseph had a touchdown at the end of the first half after that blocked field goal, but somebody gets whistled for a penalty for blocking the Steelers punter, Daniel Sepulveda, in the back when he was well behind the play. The Texans dominated. There's no feel-good about last week's game. Matter of fact, people may feel worse about the Steelers after that game than going in for yet another reason, Lamar Woodley. I mean, twice in the last 2 weeks his name's been called. In Indianapolis, it was called in the starting lineups, and last week it was called when he tackled Troy Polamalu on Arian Foster's long touchdown run. There's no feel-good. There's no silver lining whatsoever with the Steelers right now.
John, what happens to this team if they lose to Tennessee Sunday?
Panic. I mean, in the Berg, there's going to be panic. I imagine you're going to hear some pretty stiff rhetoric from Mike Tomlin. You're going to hear the leaders come out of the woodwork, Hines Ward. I would not be surprised If he doesn't take another cheap shot at Bruce Arians as well as Ben Roethlisberger, which he did after the game in Houston when somebody asked him about the opportunities he's getting, and he says, well, you know, I pride myself in making plays. I'm just not getting any opportunities. So I wouldn't be surprised if you start to see a little bit of lip service going on and a little bit of panic.
Last thing for you, John, and I know it's a fluid season. Things can change. But right now, is this a playoff team?
Oh, no. No. And that's in a conference that isn't very good. I'm not buying the Bills yet.
Right.
I like the Patriots, but they're flawed. You look around the rest of the league, I like the Titans, but I'm not quite sure. I like the Texans, but I'm still not quite sure. This is not a very good football. There are some good teams in the AFC. I don't see any great teams, and that includes the Patriots. But I don't think the Steelers are very good right now. That being said, if there is one week that this Steelers team is going to be able to find themselves, it would be this week. They're home. This is the typical game where they've been able to kind of pull out the bootstraps and be able to go out there and play good football. If there is ever a week, it's going to be this week. But I'll be honest with you, just like it was last week, I thought they were going to lose to the Texans. I think they're going to lose to the Titans. And I think Chris Johnson's going to have a nice day. And I think there's going to be panic in Pittsburgh.
Well, I think you're music to all the Ravens fans as you speak.
let me say this, too. I think the Ravens are greatly flawed, and some of that might be the play calling. What the hell were they doing offensively when their defense was playing so well? I mean, come on, just run the dang ball. Don't bother throwing.
John, apparently you didn't see the second half. They threw it four times.
They're far from great.
Four times they threw it the second half. I guess when your quarterback is 0 for 10 in the second quarter, that you're not going to throw too many passes the second half.
Oh, I know. I'm wondering why they were doing it in the second quarter.
They didn't go full Romo, though. They didn't let him keep throwing.
Oh, my God. Wasn't that a disaster? That's the NFL this year, guys. You're seeing a lot of sloppy play. And I don't know. Maybe this is a discussion for another day, but I'm just wondering if this might be the short offseason, and we're seeing some of it right now.
John Seibel from 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. As always, John, thanks for your time.
Hello, guys.
Don't jump.